Our scripture reading is found in Matthew chapters 5, verses 1 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, and we'll read verses 1 through 16. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye, when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I trust the Lord will take this portion and his blessing and prepare our hearts as we want to look at a portion of this morning for our message. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, how we thank you that we can be here today. We do appreciate the freedom that we have in this land. We thank you and praise you for the history of our nation. Father, we, with a sense of happiness, I hate to use the word pride for fear that being taken wrongly, but how thankful I am for the history of our nation in its beginnings, that there were those that came to this country searching for a land that they could worship you freely and as they chose. And we thank you for the founding of our nation, that those men that were instrumental had such a respect and high regard for your word. I'm not saying that they were all true believers, but there was a respect in their hearts for your word, and they looked upon it as the source of making and passing different laws and different things based on what was found in your word. How I wish we could say our nation still holds high your word. For decades, the leaders of our nation have done everything they can to do away with your word. Back when many of us were in grade schools, we saw the Ten Commandments removed from the walls of the schools. Many of us that had prayer and Bible reading in our schools saw that that was taken away, it was looked upon as a danger to the young hearts. Father, we are reaping today disastrous results of such decisions made back then. We are a nation today that has no regard for truth. I say that because we were taught years ago there are no absolutes. And so it's like it was in the time of the judges, every man does that which is right in his own eyes. There have been terrible laws passed. There are terrible things that are going on in this nation with the blessing of those in power that ought not to be. Our hearts grieve. We confess to you our sin. We confess to you our failure to stay dependent upon you, and we ask for your mercy if that might be possible. We don't deserve it, but we ask, Lord, that you might be merciful and not give us what we truly deserve according to your will. We find ourselves in the midst of perilous times. And we read in the Word our Savior taught that we are the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. Father, the question on my heart is, how bright is our light and how salty is our salt in this world in which we live? I pray that you would be glorified as we turn to your word. I pray that you would enable me, fill me with your spirit to say what you would have said, be kept from saying what ought not to be said. Speak to our hearts what we stand in need of. In your name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Take your Bibles again to that Matthew 5 portion if you've closed it. This week, we all know, is the week of the 4th of July. That happens to be tomorrow. And thousands of Americans, perhaps even some of you, will be displaying the flag. It speaks of pride. It brings to remembrance the history and the beginning of our nation. In a definite sense, it is a symbol of identification. People put that flag up because they are thankful to be a part of this nation and her history, what made her the nation that she is. And in the midst of all of her faults, we are still thankful that we can be meeting here in America today. And our lives are not being threatened at this point, are they? But I want us today to show our colors, not so much as an American citizen, but do you realize that in God's Word, we are instructed to show our colors? In Matthew chapter 5, we notice first of all the specific action that our Lord called for in verse 14 of Matthew 5, Jesus said, "We are the light of the world." We are the light of the world. And in verse 16, he said, what we are instructed to do is to let our light shine. Notice he did not say to the men, as he was up on that mountain, it struck me this morning. And years ago, I preached through Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount and the truth that's there. But even as I was reading, it just hit me that verse 1, the Lord went into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. This was for his own, these truths. And many of you, if not all here today, claim to be his own. This is something special for his own disciples. He did not say, men, you're going to have to figure out how to produce light in this world of darkness. He did not say that. But instead, he told them, he spoke of that which was already true regarding them. As followers of his, he said, you are the light of the world. Look around. You want to see some light? Look around. Look around. Sitting next to you, sitting across the aisle. If we know the Lord as our own personal Savior, that is a position he has given to us. We are the light of the world. And what he tells us is not produce light. And sadly, I'm afraid that's what oftentimes Christians try to get involved in. They try to do works. They try to do things to show the light. That's not what he instructed. He said, you are the light, and my instruction to you is, in verse 16, let it shine. Let it shine. How are we the light of this world? Where does it come from? It is by His Spirit who is in us. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. In John 1:9, Jesus said this. He said, that was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And we find in John 8:12, Jesus said, He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. It's not that a person that truly knows the Lord is going to be able scripturally to say, well, I haven't gotten the light yet. I haven't gotten the light yet. John 8:12, the Lord said, the one that follows me shall have the light of life. We're talking about present tense. We're talking about a current possession as believers. I'm hoping that this is a message that's good for all of us today to be reminded as we think of the message title. We are to be showing our colors. That light is to be seen in our lives. When a person puts their faith and trust in the Lord, we discover that in reality, Christ is in us, in and through the Holy Spirit. And to the believers, these words are true. We look at this command, let your light shine, verse 16. by the way this is constructed, what it is saying is don't do anything to cause the radiance to diminish. Don't do anything to cause the radiance to diminish. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ, before he got to this, in the earlier verses that we read, as we read those first 16 verses, he talked about how that, you know, as a follower of mine, you're going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. And in verse 11, he said, you're blessed. Blessed are you when men revile you, they persecute you, they say all manner of evil against you for my sake. He said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, because there's a great reward waiting for you in heaven. With that as the pretext, by the time we come to verses 14 through 16, it's quite possible that there were some that were listening to him then, that these words, let your light so shine, was needed. You say, why? There might have been some of them that were thinking to themselves, boy, you know, the thought of persecution. John talked about that in Sunday school this morning. I'm telling you, people, if you're not here for Sunday school, you miss a blessing. You do. And so many times, the Holy Spirit wraps together the truth that he's teaching, that he and I do not share notes during the week. He doesn't know what I'm going to be speaking. I know he's going to be in 1 Peter. But I haven't a clue. But this persecution and tribulation and trials, we talked about that. And the sad thing of it is, oftentimes in the face of persecution or the threat of it, many times God's own have a tendency to, I'm not so sure I want to let that light shine. Because if I let my light shine, it might not go so well for me. Might just get a little tough on me. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 said this in verses 2 through 6. He said, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. You know what Paul is able to be saying to his readers? We are not hiding the truth of Christ in our preaching. He said, as we preach, if there are some that the truth is hidden from, it's not because we are ashamed to let our light shine, but it's because the God of this age has blinded their minds. We're giving the gospel. Do we? As we think of this specific action that our Lord instructed his disciples, let's notice, A, those who feared to let their identity with Christ be known. And we have some examples of that. For instance, if you look at John chapter 9, John chapter 9, what does it mean to be afraid to, you know, let somebody know and identify yourself with Christ? Well, it's good you ask. The Holy Spirit has put some examples of that in Scripture for our learning so that we might stay away from it. In John chapter 9, in verses 20 through 22, this is the portion where there was an individual who was born blind. And earlier, Jesus was asked by his disciples, "Master, whose sin caused this man to be born blind? Did his parents, or did he? Was there something in him?" Jesus said, "Neither one sinned, but so that the works of God should be manifest. That's why he was born blind, and the Lord healed him of his blindness." And it got the attention. I mean, if somebody, I think, who is over 40 years old, has been blind their whole life, perhaps an acquaintance of yours, and they suddenly could see, it'd get some notoriety, wouldn't it? It would get people's attention, and it did. And notice here, in verse 19, the Jews, it said earlier that they didn't even believe that he had been born blind in verse 18. But in verse 19, they asked this man's parents, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He's of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself." The next words, "These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews." There you go. They weren't going to give any recognition to the Lord. They weren't going to give any praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we keep our mouths shut, we're not giving any praise to the Lord Jesus either, are we? It says the Jews, they feared the Jews because the Jews had already agreed that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. So his parents said, "He's of age, ask him. Let your light so shine. You're the light of the world." They had the opportunity to say, well, it was this man, Jesus. He was the one that did it, but they chose not to open their mouth and testify in his behalf. Here's another one. Matthew chapter 26. This is a familiar one. When we talk about not letting your light shine, Matthew 26:56, it tells us here, just a second. It's not 56. 56, all the disciples fled. When it says that all this was fulfilled, that all the prophets might be fulfilled, the disciples forsook him and fled, but especially Peter. Notice in verse 69 and 70. "Peter sat without in the palace, and the damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest." Our text our Lord said, you're the light of the world. You don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. A city that's set on a hill can't be hidden. You are the light of the world. And in verse 16, let your light shine. But when given the opportunity, all of the disciples fled. Why did we pick out Peter? He was the one, oh, I can relate so much to Peter. Open mouth, shove in foot. He was the one that would so often just speak things. And he was the one, of course, that said, Lord, all the rest of these men might deny you, but I won't. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He didn't let his light shine. Look at John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43. John 12, 42 and 43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess or openly admit their faith, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. And here's an important answer to how come so many times as Christians we shut our mouth when we ought to be opening it. Verse 43 says, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. If we were honest, we would probably all say, I hate to admit it, but I can relate to that verse. It certainly happens to me. Well, and we find the foolishness of such a thought that light could be hidden, and Jesus explained that there in verse 15 as we go back to our text, when he said, neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Light is for light. It is not to be covered and concealed. But secondly, or B, notice in this first thing, the ways of showing Christ. How can our light so shine? That's the instruction on this first point. Let your light so shine. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, we find Paul answered that, gave us an answer. In Colossians 4, 6, he said, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you might know how you ought to answer every man. We can show Christ in our conversation. Proper conversation makes for profitable contacts for the Lord. Have you ever blown it with your mouth before? I sure have. Just a couple of days ago, there was a garage sale back here in the subdivision. I'm a garage sale junkie. I go to them every chance I get. I love it. What are you looking for? I don't know. I'll know when I find it. That's the nice thing about garage sales. Well, there was one back here in the sub. And it happened that it was advertised hunting, fishing, tools, right down man's alley, don't you think? So I went there, and here was this garage and all kind of stuff laid out, spread out. And the woman had a radio on in her garage. And the melody that it was playing was a melody that you used to hear years and years and years ago, maybe back in the 70s. And I like the whistle. And as I was looking at that stuff, I started whistling the melody of that popular song way back then. I picked out some things that I wanted and got to the table to pay for it. Sorry, that's my microphone. Got to the table to pay for it, and the woman commented something about, noticed you liked that song. And she said, it's such and such a radio station coming out of Detroit or something, songs of the 70s or something like that. And it was right about then that I realized, you know, I blew it. I blew it because I had told her I was the pastor of the church here. And she got to talking about how that she knew Dr. Sachs. And Dr. Sachs had talked about this church, and talked about us. And at that instant, I realized, you know, it's going to be awfully hard to try to give a word for the Lord now when I was just whistling that song that was on the radio, Song of the World. Do you always let your light shine when you should? I blew it. You ever blow it? I blew it there. And we see here the Lord in Colossians, to Paul in Colossians 4 said, let your speech be seasoned with salt rather than whistling a familiar tune of the world. In Romans chapter 12, here's another way that we can shine for Christ. In Romans chapter 12, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, if you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The Lord's instruction to his men was that they were to let their light shine before men. How does that happen? When we present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, and that we are not conformed to this world. That's how we let our light shine. And instead, we are transformed by the renewing of the mind. As we grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, as we spend time in His Word, He teaches us how He wants us to live our lives, how we are to be the light of the world that we are. Remember, he didn't say, figure out how to be the light of the world. He said, you are the light of the world. And your assignment is to make sure you don't hide it. Let it shine. Well, our whole way of life here in Romans chapter 12 is to be different. To be different. But you know, as we look at the tendency of Christianity today, Christianity kind of took a right angle in its emphasis. We used to go door to door, we used to go pass out tracts, it would be one-on-one, and that was kind of the way you did it. But in recent years, we find more and more the emphasis is on, we probably better need to tone it down. Rather than a clear-cut conversion, instead, we are witnessing a bumper crop of emotion-based, self-seeking individuals whose lives are not in agreement with what the standard of New Testament Christianity is all about. But that's what sells today in so many churches. Tone it down. Tone it down. Turn the light down. Well, This is one of the clearest passages I think we're going to find in Scripture to instruct a believer of his responsibility as far as being a witness to others. You are the light. Don't hide it. Let it shine. Second thing, though, is we notice the obvious result in Matthew 5:16. There's an obvious result. And we see here in verse 16, let your light so shine that they may see your good works. When the light is shining the way it's supposed to, others will notice. And that's what the Holy Spirit really spoke to me about in that garage at the words of that woman on Friday. The obvious result was, he's a preacher, but he knew that tune. He whistled right along with it. The obvious result wasn't much for the Lord. But when the light is shining as it ought, they will see the good works, the manner in which we are to let the light so shine is that it will have a definite effect on those around us. When number one is right, number two is going to work. When we're letting our light shine, they're going to see Christ in us, the hope of glory. We've already noticed in verse 14 a few moments ago the fact that true believers can't be hidden or shouldn't be hidden. You are the light of the world, and a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. But a true believer who has a desire to bring honor and glory for the Lord doesn't desire that their testimony be hidden. They want others to know about Christ. What we ought to be striving for is to let our light so shine before others that other people can't help but see Christ in us. Good works, what are they? That's the object that's seen here, the obvious result. Let your light shine that they may see your good works. What are they? Well, I think there's a great need in this day and age for a Christian to be a Christian. Can I say that again? I think that's one of the things the world is short on, really seeing what a Christian is. There are so many things that pass under the flag of Christianity that, as we mentioned a while ago, that are so self-centered, emotional-based, wishy-washy, watered down, that it's hard for the world to see what a true Christian really is. When people see you, are they seeing what a true Christian is? That's quite a thought, isn't it? The world is watching. And the whole context is that when we're what we ought to be, there will be a resulting effect on believers. But if the salt has no savor, what good is it? And if the light is being hidden, what effect does it have in the world of darkness around us? As we think about this whole matter of the object to be seen and an obvious result. You say, Pastor, it kind of sounds like you're saying that life in general, as a Christian, my life ought to be reflecting, shining the light of Christ. That's right. And when it does, others will know. Let me give you an example or two. 1 Peter 4:4. 1 Peter 4:4. I'll beat you to it, John. You haven't gotten there yet. He's still in chapter 1. But in 1 Peter 4:4. Well, let's go back to number 3 and 4. For the time past of our life may suffice us who have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walk in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. What Peter is saying, you know, before we were saved, we lived this way. But, now verse 4, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same extremes or excess of life, speaking evil of you. Yeah, you're getting people's attention, all right. Everybody's scratching their heads and they're saying, what happened to him? Oh, he got religion. That's why she doesn't do what she used to do. When we are letting the light shine, others will notice and they will recognize that's not the same person they used to be. That's what Christ means when he says, let your light shine. Look at chapter 2, verse 2, 1 Peter. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. The difference will be seen. Well, we've looked this morning at the specific action. Let your light so shine before men. The obvious result, that they may see your good works. And what is the ultimate goal, thirdly? What's the ultimate goal in all of this? It says, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's exactly what John was teaching this morning. Getting through the trials and the difficulties by God's grace isn't to make us look good, but it is to make our God glorified and to make Him look good. And when we are doing our part, it says others will see and they will glorify your Father, which is in heaven. They're not going to be glorifying you. They're going to know the one you're serving. They're going to know who is important to you, who has made a change in your life. And they are going to glorify God by what they see in your life. You see, this can only apply to a true believer. We find the fact that glorifying our Father which is in heaven doesn't apply to the man and woman of the world, but it's only the one who knows the Lord as personal Savior. You see, the world is in darkness of sin without light or life. And we have the light. And just like people are going to be showing their colors tomorrow with the flags, our challenge this morning is, beloved, as we go out of this place, may we be prompted to show our color. How are we going to do that? We we find the psalmist talks about give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. How are others going to recognize the light of the world? Paul said, here's one of the ways. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, that very familiar verse, when he said, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do it what? We do it all to the glory of the Lord. That's when we're letting our light shine. As we think about this thought of giving God the glory and letting our light shine, sometimes, even in tragedies, we're faced with the challenge of complaining, questioning, but we find that our entire verse needs to come into play when we recognize that what God does is for His glory. Remember in John chapter 11, when Lazarus, first the disciples said, well, the Lord told His disciples, Lazarus is sick, we need to go. And then He hesitated, He delayed. He delayed long enough for Him to die. And there was some question, Lord, if you speed it up, if we wouldn't have hung around here so long. But Jesus' answer was, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. As we think of this, we think of the challenge to us as believers that know Him as our own personal Savior. We're shortcomings. Shouldn't take the national holiday to be reminded. I hope this is something which has stirred some feelings in your own heart, stirred some thoughts. I trust as we go away from here that we might take to heart. This is our challenge. This is our work order. This is what Christ expects of us. Each and every one that names the name of Christ. This isn't just for the super spiritual ones. This is an assignment given to everyone that has Him as their own personal Savior and Lord. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. God, help us. Shall we close? Father, I pray that you would take this familiar portion. These verses weren't new to any of us, but sometimes we forget. Sometimes we need a reminder. Sometimes we need to clean the dust off of the lamp. Sometimes we need to renew our commitment to you and renew our interest in sharing you with those around us. I pray that you get the glory. I pray, Father, that you might work your works, and if there is one here that does not know you as their own personal Savior, they will realize that without Christ there is no light in their life, but they can receive you by faith, by grace through faith, if they would just ask and confess their sin to you. If there are any out on the internet that are listening that have never trusted you as their Savior, I pray, Lord, that you would show them that this is something they cannot relate to. This is something only for true believers. But salvation is free and can be received today.
by grace through faith. We thank you in